Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, we're going to get to baseball at some point. I'll get my review of the big winter weekend out at MGM Springfield at some point here this morning. But it's been on football, a championship Sunday that didn't live up to the last couple weeks of football. We had dominant winners in San Francisco and KC, but the football was not great.
No, it was not a great
Both games were basically over by halftime.
Last year, though... Two overtime games. I don't think we're going to see that again anytime soon.
Like
that was
said,
a hell of a Sunday.
You said it earlier. Maybe now we get a good Super Bowl. Maybe
wild
San Francisco
was,
great Super Bowl.
So far, Wildcard Weekend was the best weekend of football.
Yep, you had three close games. You had the Patriots game, obviously. So we'll see. I think on paper, 49ers Chiefs is what you want. Great offense, great defense, one superstar quarterback, one guy we don't know about right now, young coach and an old coach. I mean, it's sort of a perfect setup for what we're going to get in 13 days.
Is it about offense or is it about defense? How do you build your franchise moving forward?
Here's how I know you build it. Don't draft the running back. Both running backs in the Super Bowl, undrafted free agents.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah. So Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, sorry, you're not worth it.
So does Derrick Henry get paid from Tennessee then?
I think I think that's because teams are dumb. Yes, teams are stupid.
That's exactly the team that should pay him, though.
Yeah, I guess technically, but I would not. I would not break the bank. I would not make him the highest paid running back in football.
But he's going to want that type of money.
Sure,
right?
Somebody will, but doesn't make it right. I mean, there's plenty of guys getting paid that has not worked out for their team. And I'm saying if you pay Derrick Henry and you worry about him before your quarterback and figure out if it's Tannehill or Brady or somebody else, you're making a mistake.
What's he going to do? Go to Miami where they have all that money? And
well, if you sign
he's going to be sought after. I'm saying I think we've seen enough of our football in our football lifetime the last 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's not about the running backs.
Well, but
it's about the quarterbacks.
But don't you have to now say, okay, because what's the biggest thing when you talk about Tennessee? Oh, Tennessee, imagine if Brady was there in that offense. Well, what if you sign Brady and then you ultimately lose Derrick Henry because you invest so much money in a Brady? Now you're like, yeah, we don't want to pay Derrick Henry as much money. Now you got Tom Brady going to the Titans with no Derrick Henry. It's not the same Tennessee Titans team.
Yeah, but that team is built – That offense, you could argue, is
built
around
Derrick
Henry.
Yeah,
right. So that's where I think he's the most valuable. And if you're Derrick Henry, that's exactly where you want. I mean, he's running behind probably the best left tackle in football in Taylor Lewan. So, I mean, it's a good spot for him to be.
And they have – there's other free agents they have to re-sign. Is there one of their offensive linemen's a free agent, the 25-year-old. I forget his name, but he's really good.
Yep.
So they got some issues to settle there.
So you have to be thinking about that if you're Brady. Right? Don't you?
Yeah, that's a part of it. Sure,
you have to think about that. And if you're Derrick Henry, and they tie up, what did you say, 60, 70 million of Brady? How much you tie? How much does that leave me?
I don't know the Titans' salary cap. I know the Dolphins and the Patriots.
No, but I'm just saying, basing it off of what a team's going to get. What do you think the market is for Tom Brady? Let's just put a number on what the market is.
2 and 50.
All right, so 2 and 50.
Yep.
So you know you're talking about, you know,
all that guaranteed, by the way.
Yeah, all that guaranteed. So you know you're talking about $25 million towards Tom Brady's cap hit in first year. So how much could you then give Derrick Henry? If you just gave Brady $50 million in guarantee.
Like, it depends how much money you have. I mean, I technically don't know. He's going to make
Titans
a lot of money.
Just FYI, Titans have $57 million in cap space.
But you can always move money around.
Yes. Yeah,
so but the point I'm making is Derrick Henry might go somewhere else to get more money. And
no doubt, unrestricted free agent, just take him off this amazing run. Some team is going to see, oh, he's going to change our team. And I think you've watched enough football to know it ain't about the running back. It's about the quarterback. You can have any guy off the street who's been cut by six different teams. Mostert yesterday.
But let's say you have
has
the
been
quarterback.
Cut six times.
But let's say you have the
220
quarterback.
220 yards rushing.
But let's say you're a team that maybe has the quarterback. Let's say you're the Atlanta Falcons, for example. You go, okay, we have a pretty decent quarterback. Now if we can get a guy like Derrick Henry, because you're saying it's about the quarterback.
Yeah.
So now, you know what? We'll pay Derrick Henry top running back money in the league because we already have our quarterback. Or maybe it's Detroit. I'm just using because, you know, they would have quarterbacks in place already. You go, okay, you know, maybe that's the guy that works for us. And Now, here's a guy who gets paid. Now Brady's going to Tennessee without no Derrick Henry.
The running backs are going to get paid somewhere around 12, 13, 14 million bucks a year is what he's going to get. And he's not going to get a long deal because
Get like the Ezekiel Elliott deal. What did Ezekiel Elliott get? 6 years, $90 million?
Well, $15 million.
I think he's shown over a long period of time Zeke's a better running back than Derrick Henry. Maybe you're right. Well, maybe as the salary cap goes up, maybe guys get paid more.
Derrick
Henry's not going to be going to the Atlanta Falcons. They have $10 million in salary cap space.
General, what would you do first, Wiggy? The quarterback or the running back?
Well, I would always do the quarterback.
Me too. But that's the point. So if you're Tennessee and it gets down to it and you had to make a decision, it's the offensive lineman and the quarterback before you re-sign Derrick Henry.
Right, but now the face of your team changes.
Oh, no doubt.
So now you go from not having a top-notch running attack to
Why can't you have a top-notch running attack? I mean, Derrick Henry was okay. He made this great 4 or 5 week run, but he wasn't otherworldly during the year. There was a long stretch where he was just an average okay running back.
But he probably gets paid somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'm saying if you're Tennessee, do it. That's my point. Because I think if you get the quarterback done first, because bring back Henry and Tannehill, there's a ceiling to that. We saw that ceiling yesterday. You don't have the passing attack. You need a better quarterback. Sorry, Anderson. Sorry, Scheim. No more Tannessons. Amen. Delete that sound out of the system. We watched that guy suck yesterday again. He threw for like 200 yards in the playoffs.
It wasn't that bad. He was okay yesterday.
Couldn't make throws when they had to go to the passing game. They couldn't rely on him. Sorry.
He's average at best.
And Brady, you would be able to rely upon him, I think. Dave is in West Warwick at 617-779-7937, getting back to Brady and championship weekend. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call.
What's up, man?
And first of all, I would keep the money in the couch. And
right?
I watched the Aaron Hernandez show, and I was very surprised when you said at the end that you think that the whole concussion thing was a cop-out.
Yeah.
You saw he was...
Go for two, Dave. Thanks.
All right. What about the thousands and thousands of players that have played, not just professional football, but football in general, that have been banging their heads, you know, high school, or they played in college, that might have some type of CTE. They don't go out there and just kill innocent people.
It's probably the smartest thing you've ever said. And you've said a lot of smart things over the years. The idea that we try to pretend, and the documentary didn't come out and say this, but it leaned this way. When you watch all 3 hours, it leaned a certain way that, you know, maybe if he had a better home life, they put a lot of pressure on his mom, who they went after right away for going to date the cousins.
Now, does that maybe kind of like mess you up a little bit? Your dad just passed away.
Does it turn you into a mass murderer? Not a mass murderer, but a stone cold killer?
Yeah, multiple.
Right. Hey, come on now. I mean, think about it. How many kids did you know that grew up with, you know, their parents passed away at a young age, or maybe they grew up in environments that were there? You can't use that as an excuse. Does it maybe play into how you become as an adult and maybe what you ultimately, you know, becoming life? I think it's very, very small, but you at the end of the day make your own choices, you make your own decisions.
Yes, you do, but I know this is exactly what Baez probably wanted out there, the concussion information. I can't imagine that it would influence you to the point where you're like, I'm just gonna start killing people. Obviously he had the worst attitude and these predilections his whole life long, but his brain must have just been absolute garbage by the end, though, right? I mean,
I don't know that. That feels again like an excuse.
Right.
It feels like excuse making for the guy.
Think about all the people.
Didn't they say that it was like one of the most one of the most CTE riddled brains they'd ever seen?
Well, but I mean, if they're only, I think the study was like out of 27 brains. It wasn't like it was a ton of brains that they studied.
The doctor said it was the worst she'd ever seen in a 27-year-old.
But I think they've only studied like 15 or 16 brains of 27-year-olds. It's not like they had 2,000 brains of people that were 27 years old. There wasn't like this massive information. There are plenty of people that have played, you know, football, like I said, for a long time. There are plenty of people that are in jail for murdering people that never played a down of football.
Right.
So, I mean, to say that it's all about CT, you can't.
And that's the way that the thing leaned. Like, oh, he got these concussions, and maybe it wasn't treated correctly.
Or was that, or was it was his dad passing away? There are plenty of people that are in jail that their dads didn't pass away when they were teenagers in high school, or they didn't deal with some type of traumatic loss of a family member. And there are plenty of people that are walking and law-abiding citizens that have dealt with traumatic losses when they were teenagers and didn't decide to go out there and start murdering
but people. But if you're ranking what had more of an impact, I would say his upbringing. Like
that whole
life and his mom and his dad, like honestly, that felt like more of an impact than a concussion might be.
Right.
So I agree. I thought when he's that at the end of the documentary, I agree with you. I took the same takeaway that it shouldn't
on,
be
people.
The excuse.
That's what I was like. Come on, people.
It's a dangerous connection.
Dan is in Winchton this morning. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Morning.
So I just wanted to, how are you guys?
Good, man.
So I just wanted to say, Brady, with him sitting on the couch, sitting back, watching the games on the weekends, he's just sitting there, sitting back, watching his money go up. Because as the mentor, what better brand raising than Garoppolo being in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but I don't
get that. What do you mean by...
How does it help him?
Yes.
Well, because technically he was Garoppolo's mentor, and if he's going to mentor other quarterbacks, I mean, what better quarterback to be in a Super Bowl under mentor of Brady?
I think it, the Garoppolo thing is more about the organization he went to.
I think it's a huge hit for Bill. It's a great that Bill. The rumor is Bill wanted this guy to replace Brady. And I think it looks like now he could have been the replacement. I'm going to say he's Brady, but he could have been the replacement for
it. It seems like if you put a good team around him, then he's a quarterback. You know,
capable, quality NFL starter.
That's
great drafting by Lynch. This is a hell of a defense. And that running attack, he only had to throw 8 passes. He completed 75.
Think about that.
Oh, Garoppolo completed 75% of his passes in the NFC Championship. Yeah, 6 of 8.
You think about that. 8 passes. Think about this. You know who threw more passes than him in a playoff game? Tim Tebow. Remember that year Tim Tebow was with the Denver Broncos?
Sure
I think
do.
He was like, you know, maybe 10 or 17. It was something along those lines. But he threw 8 passes.
Didn't have to.
And so when you look at it,
he's a does what is needed of him quarterback.
Right. It's about the team you build around your quarterback.
He's a good. I mean, Shanahan. He had that mistake in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and there's now this revisionist history that it was Dan Quinn who made the calls there late. He was the head coach, and he was making the calls on fourth down and not pass the ball, not run the ball, all that stuff. But he has proven that was a little blip. I
mean, yeah, didn't Shanahan go on
40 years old and really, really, really good, and is going to be there for a long, long time?
Didn't he actually take the blame when he jumped on the Pardon My Take podcast and said that he definitely would have called a couple more pass plays and that he knew he blew it?
He probably did, but his friends in the media, because it is an interesting clash here, because Andy Reid's the old school football guy. Shanahan is the analytical new young mind.
New
he's going to have
mind,
this,
yeah.
And you see it on Twitter with these. The new, like, Josh Hermsmeyer, who believes in air yards, and he looks at that for analytics and stuff. Like, those guys are going to be all in on San Francisco, and sort of an old-school football look's going to be at Andy Reid. And so they get these two different contrasting styles, but Shanahan, I mean, you saw it yesterday. He on his 4-string running back, the guy was fourth in camp, put 220 up on Green Bay. He knew he didn't have to throw the ball. It'll be different against Kansas City.
I think that was more about how bad Green Bay's defense is and Green Bay's defensive coaches. You know they're not throwing the football. You think you'd put more guys in the box and say, hey, Jimmy, beat us throwing the football. And the guy was basically every time he touched the football, it was like ripping off 10 yards a carry before somebody even touched him. I'm like, are they going to make any adjustments here?
They never did.
160
in the first half. That thing was over early. Let's talk to Albert in Rhode Island on Jimmy G. Hi, Albert.
How you doing, guys? This will be an interesting show today. You guys slid Wiggy up to the two hole. So by the end of the show today, Wiggy will have the New England believing that it's the cops' fault that AB had a mental breakdown last week. And that'll be his take.
Well, sometimes you got to be careful with the police out there, man.
Oh no, definitely. That was definitely cops' fault. It wasn't AB. But just want to, New England, how does it feel today, Jimmy, the stud, is out in San Fran in the Super Bowl.
Six of eight.
Young, budding. Hold on.
Six of eight.
Right.
You got to do what's asked of you. And your quarterback, your guy, your hero, doesn't know if he wants to come back and is mulling free agent options. Do you think Kraft should have let Bill be Bill 5 years ago and let him have his guy?
No. You're going to play that dumb game now? You're going to play that dumb game?
They won
a Super Bowl after that.
Right.
They won a Super Bowl. You don't take those away.
They won a Super Bowl after that.
Yes. Once you win, winning makes the decision the right decision. Yes.
So you think 1 year? First of all, Bill obviously thought he could have won with
you should have won two because Bill screwed up the Malcolm Butler thing. But you won a Super Bowl. They made the right decision.
Or did Brady fumble the ball on a strong side fumble by a strip sack by Brandon Graham?
Albert,
did that have anything to do with it too much?
Not as much as not playing Malcolm Butler.
Oh, it didn't. Okay, so not as much.
Albert, what meant more? Not playing Malcolm Butler or the strip side sack that Brandon Graham had? What meant more?
The strip side sack.
He had 500 yards passing, you moron. They couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Deion Sanders now. So now Malcolm Butler's...
Yes, in that game, he would have been Deion Sanders. They had Jordan freaking Richards out there trying to make tackles, and he couldn't. Malcolm Butler wins in that game, Albert, and I know you're smart enough to know that.
You put Julian Edelman... You guys have played...
Albert.
I love how Albert tries to think that Brady threw for 500 yards and three touchdowns.
He was not the problem in that game.
The only quarterback in history to throw 500 yards and not win.
Idiot.
Right.
Yeah, but when Peyton... Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
When Peyton Manning used to put up great statistics in playoff games and he would come up short in those big moments, the stats wouldn't matter then.
Yeah, Albert, when did Manning's coach bench their best cornerback for the Super Bowl?
And Peyton Manning would come up short because he threw interceptions. That's why he would come up short, where you would go, I can't believe Manning threw an interception late in the game. The strip sack...
was a big play.
Yeah, it was a big play, but that's not on Brady. He's looking downfield. That's on the right guard who got completely whooped.
Well, we would say... if that was somebody else who'd say, got to be able to know where you are, pocket presence.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Last night, you see the Aaron Rodgers fumble in the second quarter where he doesn't dot
on the
me?
Center?
You got to have that, get the dive on the ball.
But that was his fault, though.
Well,
like, is anybody...
As a quarterback, turnovers...
Is anybody blaming the center? Nobody's blaming the center.
No, it's on Rodgers.
So in that, the strip sack, nobody's blaming Brady. Everybody was blaming the right guard and Shaq Mason, who got beat, and that's what led to it. Brady's looking to the left, and it's a strip sack.
He's looking long for Gronk.
It's not one of those things. It's just one of those things where you're right guard, you can't get beat that badly. But to say Jimmy Garoppolo, so that means...
They made the right call and moving on from
Jimmy. But no, if Jimmy Garoppolo's here, you're telling me that Raheem, how do you say his last name?
Mostert.
You're telling me...
I call him Mostert all day yesterday.
Raheem
Mostert.
Mostert,
it's
right?
It's tough to say.
So
Mostert.
Is he going to be now... 29 carries for 220 yards with the Patriots?
No.
Mostert? No.
Well, that's the point.
And he won't pull that off in the Super Bowl.
You're comparing Jimmy G to what he would have been.
Because Albert's like, well, they should have kept Jimmy G here.
Well, he's not the only one. There's going to be a couple days of this dumb revisionist history that says Bill got forced to make the wrong move and moved on from Garoppolo and he could have had him here instead of Brady. When the reality is the mistake he made, and this is on Bill, he only called one team. He called the Niners and said, we'll take a second-round pick. He never shopped them. He didn't get the best deal for Jimmy. That's the problem.
That's the mistake he made.
Trading Jimmy Garoppolo was the right move for the organization.
Right.
Not getting enough for him is what will be the bad mark look for Belichick the rest
of the season.
Why the impetuous trade, though? And why just like, Garoppolo's gone?
I think it was sort of out of spite. Like, okay, fine. You say you want Brady long-term, I have to trade him? I'm going to trade him to a coach I like, a football family I like,
instead of getting
the best deal. Because you call Cleveland, you call some other quarterback needy team.
Well, Cleveland was needed for a quarterback at that time.
And the reports were they were going to give up a first-round pick.
Right, and so imagine if Garoppolo's at Cleveland. Are we still here going, oh, look at Garoppolo? No, we're probably going... Brady. We're probably going Belichick. Great move on his part. Traded Garoppolo there. A guy doesn't really look that good. And, you know, he got something back in return for him. That's what we would be saying about Garoppolo.
Here's a quick question for you. If they lose 51, do they move on from Brady after that? Garoppolo starts the 2017 season if the Falcons actually do their job and finish off Super Bowl 51 the way they should have?
The next year, remember 18 or whatever the next season was, the first eight games, Brady was like MVP candidate.
Right. And he was
Brady won MVP in 2017 season.
If they had lost that game, then if he came back and still played that well the next year,
I
think the beginning of that year
was
ended.
He was the MVP that year, yeah. So you would be moving on from an MVP
his play
quarterback.
In 2017. Yeah.
Right.
I got you.
That's what transformed it. I mean, you bring up a good question, though. Did he trade Jimmy G to San Francisco because he wanted the best spot for the player so eventually it would look good on Bill? Because this looks great on Belichick right now. Because Bill looks like a genius for thinking this is the guy to replace Brady. Or did he do it?
No, he just liked the player.
Sure.
That's it.
But why did he not shop him around then?
Because he liked the player and he wanted to send them to a place.
Didn't want to send him to any sort of football
purgatory. That's not the best thing for the Patriots, though. Because the best thing would be get a higher draft pick than just a second round pick.
When he moved on from Jamie Collins, he didn't care about it. He sent him to the Cleveland Browns. So he liked Jimmy Garoppolo as a player. Mm-hmm. So he felt like the best thing for me.
He does.
And I like this
big
kid.
Yep.
I'm going to send them to a coach that I have respect for and an organization that I feel like I have respect for. Because when he sent them to the 49ers weren't like a good organization in the sense of winning. Yeah, they weren't a team that you go,
they weren't when he got hurt last year. They won two games.
Right. It wasn't like, oh he's going to go there and be successful. He just, just said, hey, I know the Shanahans. I like them. I respect them. That's where I'm sending you.
Let's go to Ed in the car. Wants to talk about Derrick Henry this morning. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Ma, 2 years ago when the NFL ratings were down, I called you and told you that the reason was because of the running back by committee and that teams needed stud running backs to be able to build marketing campaigns around. And now you have it. Now you have stud running back, Derrick Henry. You got Mostert. You can't tell me that
Ed. Mostert is in a committee of running backs with Coleman and Breida.
He didn't even get the most carries. For most yards in a playoff game.
Last week he sat on the bench because Coleman was having a better game than him. They've done that all year in San Fran.
He tweaked his ankle in the first quarter.
Okay, he still made carries after that, but he went with the hot hand. Shanahan admitted he went with the hot hand. That was Coleman. It's a running back by committee.
You can't say the quarterback is more important to the Titans when the NFC representative just threw 8 passes in a championship game.
Well, because Green Bay's
Derrick Henry is the face of the Titans.
I disagree.
And the reason, Wiggy would know.
I would agree that he is the face of the franchise.
Well, they're not gonna,
Aren't they getting smaller on defense to keep up with these high powered passing offenses? Which makes the game evolving so that the running teams that have big running backs can pound the ball against these smaller.
No one. Okay, but you're Ed. You are minimizing what you're talking about. And so Derrick Henry is I think unmatched in terms of size and speed in the entire league. He's a freak. Guys like this aren't just growing on trees. This is a one of a kind player. Don't just go, oh, who's the next big running back? This guy runs a 4-something 40, and he's you can't tackle him.
6'4",
250. He's a freak. You can't say, oh, just find that guy. It's like saying go find a diamond rough every year.
They didn't lose because of Tannehill. They lost because their defense is terrible.
So, I put that on a lot of Tannehill.
So here's a good question, right?
Can't make plays downfield.
So you got the kid Jonathan Taylor coming out of Wisconsin this year, right? Set all types of records. Do you draft him in the top 10 because of what you've seen guys like Henry, Barkley?
Oh, there's always a reach
Elliott.
Pick.
Who's the really good Wisconsin running back that's come out of Wisconsin? From Ron Dane. And it's a million other guys. Like, who's
James
the guy?
James White.
Okay.
James
good
Melvin Gordon.
Good
no,
player.
No, I'm just
Melvin
shooting.
Gordon was the second best. Austin Eckler was better than he is.
No, but
year.
I'm just saying.
Russell Wilson.
There you go. All I'm saying is, right, if you're an organization, do you go after that type of guy? Because
in a top 10, I would not. I would not, because we're seeing the reason why in the Super Bowl. The two guys in the Super Bowl are undrafted running backs. You can find those guys later on in the draft.
But I think you see that. I think that's...
Or not drafted at all.
But I think that's more of the outlier, right?
Well, I think Derrick Henry's the outlier.
You think so?
This freakish, big monster of a man.
No. I think
Earl Campbell 2.0.
Yes.
But I don't think him being the outlier. I think you can't just build your team around the running back.
That
you
too.
Still
yes,
need the
yes,
quarterback.
Yes.
Right? Even if you have Saquon Barkley,
yep.
Right? Who's the best running back in the NFL. Do you look at that and go, oh, we don't want him because he's a running back? No, you go, we need to find a quarterback to go with him, because if we can find a quarterback to go with him, then ultimately what we got here is something really dangerous. Very similar to what you see down in Dallas. With Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, you got a very good running back and a good quarterback. Now you can build an offense and you don't have to just focus on
and
one of those guys.
And a giant offensive line in Dallas, too.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's if you only have a running back, it's going to be hard.
It's no accident that all these great running teams also have boss left tackles, too. I mean, that makes a big difference. The line you're running behind makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Where did Trent Brown play this year? He played. I know he played.
He was in
Oakland.
Yeah.
Is he a right tackle?
They had a great offensive line.
Yes,
in Oakland.
And they had a great offensive line this year.
Big part.
And Josh Jacobs looked pretty damn good.
And they're going to protect Brady very well next year when he's there.
Woo!
Mike in Framingham on the Hernandez doc. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? You were talking about Aaron Hernandez, about certain people don't kill people. His brother, he turned out fine.
And that's right.
Aaron Hernandez, he had a bunch of stuff going on, too. Like,
right.
He said he wanted to be a cheerleader and the way his father was. And I remember he was in prison talking to his wife, and he's making fun of gay people, and his wife was saying, don't say that.
Right.
So he had, like, a lot of pent-up stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on with him just in general, and I think Mike brings up a good point. His brother, DJ, came from the same environment, you know, and lost his dad just like Aaron did and didn't ultimately go down the road of killing people.
Fair point.
Yeah, so it's a weird spot because there's enough there in his background to say maybe that led to it. It's not the concussions. You're right about that. It's not football concussions. Concussions do a lot of things. They don't turn people into stone cold.
You
killers.
Chose to
that
do it.
Happen.
You listen. You deal with a lot of things in life. I understand that you know people deal with things differently, but you were able to live a life where you were able to be an adult, raise kids, make a living. You knew the difference of right and wrong. That's ultimately what I'm saying is you know the difference. You know if I kill somebody and I kill this innocent person, that's bad. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. There are a few people out there that you can really look at and go, okay, they crazy. They certified, certified crazy. Right? You think about some of those like Jeffrey Dahmers and Ted Bundys. Like, okay, there's something wrong with him upstairs. But then there are people you go, okay, yeah, they might have some issues that they're dealing with, but then they choose to do something stupid and make a wrong decision.
I don't think it's a hot take to say that Aaron Hernandez was a bit of a twisted soul.
He had some issues.
Well, he
had some issues. Fair.
I'm not saying that he didn't have issues, but to say, okay, these issues are the reason why, and that use that as his defense? Nah, man, come on. I ain't buying that, man.
We'll continue with the latest on Tom Brady. There are plenty of news, reports, rumors out there about the quarterback and his future. We'll get to that. And your phone call, 617-779-7937. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for Greg Hill.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And Tom is going to evaluate these situations based off where he has an opportunity to win. What's he used to doing? He's used to winning on a consistent basis. And that means that there's got to be a structure in place that allows him to be the best Tom Brady he can be, which means you've got to run the system that he's used to running. Tom's best opportunity to be successful is in New England with Josh McDaniels, with that system, with that organization. If he wants to go somewhere else, no one's going to begrudge him that.
All right, so Mangini sounded a lot like Jermaine Wiggins. It is Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for Greg Hill. Your phone call is coming up, 617-779-7937, that it would take time and be more difficult for Brady to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. My point this morning has been, I think he's up for that challenge. That quote about something to prove, I think speaks to that. I'm going to go prove that I don't have to be in a certain system. I can do it a different way. We've had a great system, and it's awesome. Great. We had great success, 6 Super Bowls. But I can go with a different offense. I can go with John Gruden. I can go with Arthur Smith there in Tennessee. And I can run a different offense, add my spin to it, and still be a very highly successful quarterback. Isn't that something to prove would mean when Brady said that to Peter King the other week, weeks ago?
I think that when you look at that, you also have to realize that things might not be as easy as you expect them to be.
Do you think it'd be easy here?
I think it'd be easier. Easier in the fact that you have an offense that you're comfortable with. You have an offensive coordinator that you're comfortable with. You're in an organization that you understand what they do. There's that comfort level that you have with them. You don't know what's going to happen when you go somewhere else. And, everybody, like you said, everybody has some little hesitation because they're scared of change, right?
Sure.
I mean, we all do. It's just human.
I don't think so. I think there are some people that are built like Brady who they look at it as a challenge, and there's no fear at all in that.
But even everybody has a fear of change a little bit. To make it sound like that nobody has any type of fear when it comes to a life-changing event, moving your family, there's always going to be that little piece of you. Now, you might accept this fear and accept this challenge head on, but to think that there's not a little piece of fear, you'd be naive to say that.
No, I think he's wired differently. I think he's proven that time
and time
again.
But there are those of us who want to try to tackle
right,
and conquer
not,
that
right,
fear,
but
and those
still
of us who
have
cower
a little
and
bit
run
of
from that fear.
Right, I'm not disputing that.
Right.
I'm disputing the fact where you think that there's not a little bit of fear in Brady where he's saying, okay, change is going to be different, and here's what I might have to deal with.
Got six Super Bowl wins, 9 appearances. What else is there
what
left
is
for him to prove on the
help
field?
Because I think what the Jason Lockenfora story we read earlier, where Jason Lockenfora is the first person that I've seen mention a source telling him that Brady is willing and open to be a mentor somewhere, to mentor a young quarterback. What I think that means is trying to let everyone, all the teams know, the young quarterbacks, I will come in for a couple years and be a bridge quarterback, and I'm trying to fight the stigma, because the stigma here was that he didn't want to work with Garoppolo.
The Brady freeze.
They brought in Cody Kessler, who's the third quarterback this year, because Brady wanted a buffer between he and Stidham. He didn't want Stidham following around. He wanted to work on, he had to work on. And so to get this whisper out there like, hey, I'll be a mentor somewhere, that's for all the other teams to make sure they know I'm willing to come play ball with
you. Right, and I understand that, but it's when you think about this, right? You were in a position, you went from one show to the morning show, right? There had to be a little bit.
I was once on a morning show.
And so when you got that morning show
full
time.
Thanks for reminding me, Wiggs. Thanks.
What I'm saying is there was probably a little bit of fear in the sense that, okay.
Well, I'm not Tom Brady.
No, but it doesn't matter. You're still a human being.
Don't tell yourself,
sure. We all deal with that.
Yeah, fear of having to work with Curtis? Yes, I feared that.
Right. And so when you ask, well, what could Brady potentially be afraid of?
Yes.
Well, he's
afraid of failure?
No, there's a fear of, you know what, if it doesn't work out, this could, you know, be part of my legacy.
Tarnish his legacy, diminish the value of TB12 and everything that he's been building
towards.
This
could be part of it.
But at the same time, no one has done what he's done already. So
I
almost think that he can't, like, there will be no, I don't think there'll be the I don't even think that the Jordan on the Wizards has any sort of tarnish on his legacy. And I don't think Brady is going to do that. Wherever he goes,
but I remember Jordan on the Wizards.
But,
it's a little blip.
It could be Montana and the Chiefs. He went to the Chiefs and elevated them. They went to an AFC championship
the
next year.
That was a
hell of an effort. Playoff 2 years in a row.
They traded Montana there, right?
Because they had a Steve Young behind him. And yes, there is no other Hall of Fame quarterback sitting behind Tom Brady.
Right.
When Mutt, how many people do you think are going to make a point of when they talk about, or at least in the lock and forth thing, Brady still feels like he has something to prove?
Yeah.
Could that something to prove, and I know I'm going to be doing this, it's dangerous on the Boston airwaves.
Here we go.
Is it the Brady versus Belichick, I'm going to go win outside of you, Bill? Is that what that something to prove is, you think?
I think it could be. I think it definitely could be.
Could be, right?
He's proved what he can prove here. Now, if you want to say he's just talking about playing to another age, playing a 45 and sticking with what he said before, could be as basic as that. But when you come out and say that, yes, I want to prove I can get out of my comfort zone. Like Wiggy's saying, face that fear of playing somewhere else and being successful and showing the world, you know, I wasn't just this Charlie Weiss, and he wasn't a system quarterback. That's what I'm trying to say. But I can do it in a different style of offense.
Right. But now.
And he's really done it in every style here. Because he was a game manager to start, and it was a high flying offense, and now whatever it's been the last couple
of
years.
But what you have to realize is if you do go somewhere else and it doesn't work out, maybe it's not because of you. Maybe you're doing everything you need to do, but those guys are just not getting it.
It's a good point.
Maybe it's the system, they're just not getting it. The coach and I, whatever it is. Maybe you look at it, it's not the people around me. You go, I mean, it's not me, it's the people around me. But at the end of the day, you're the one who's going to be looked at as, see, we told you, it was all about the system.
Well, on the other side, so let's flip it around for one second. Let's introduce this question. For the next couple of years, and maybe even long term, who is it worse for if he goes? Like, is it, if he leaves here, isn't it worse for the Patriots?
Yes.
If he leaves, because they don't have, as Fitzy just said, the next guy, at least we don't think. And if Brady goes successful somewhere, it's going to make them look really, really bad.
There's nothing that Brady could do short of them basically offering him, you know, a fully guaranteed contract at 60-plus million or 70-plus million above market value and him turning it down that would have people looking at Brady, like, sideways. Everything that could happen is going to be a bad look on the Patriots.
I agree. And even if he goes and plays somewhere poorly, if Jarrett Stidham's not the next guy, Fitzy, or whoever they bring in here, no one's going to care Brady's not playing poor. They're going to say, well, if you kept Brady,
he wouldn't
suck the way he's sucking somewhere.
So you asked who would it look worse for? Who would it be the worst for? I think the organization.
Yeah. Kraft.
Like, that's who would be that's who would be the worst for. Like, you couldn't get control of this. You couldn't get out ahead of this. You went to Brady years ago. You asked him to take some cuts. He worked with you. And then in the end, you let him go. The fan revolt. Part of me wonders if keeping him around would just be the fear of the revolt, the optics.
I would think
just
it would
not from Bill, man.
Organizationally,
Kraft,
from Bill.
Right.
I still think Belichick is going to take his sweet time and analyze every. Like I've said, he's going to analyze every throw. They're going to look at every game, and then he's going to go to Kraft and either say, "This is what I think he's worth to me. What do you think he's worth to you?" Or, "I think I'm ready to move on." And if that happens, oh my God.
But I don't think Bill says he's ready to move on, because we talk about fear, right? And how everybody deals with it. A little bit of Bill's fear, and this is what I would be thinking, right? A little bit of his fear is, okay, I started my career without Brady, and it didn't work out. I end my career without Brady, and it doesn't work out.
Sure.
So he has more to lose, in the sense of, we've already seen Belichick without Brady before. So there's more to lose on his part for his legacy. Mm. When you look at Brady, we've never seen Brady without Belichick. So we don't know. In Tom's mind, it's like, I don't know, maybe I could do well without Bill. But in Bill's mind, he goes, I've had the opportunity of not having Brady before, and it didn't work out. And even when Brady got hurt, we weren't able to. And when I say work out,
won 11 games, but didn't make the postseason. Right. By the way, the team the year before was an unbelievable
team. Right. So he's never been in a position where, okay, he's gotten his team to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
Sure.
So that is going to, you know, when you think about it, that's going to hold a little bit of space in his head and going, oof, if we really move on from Brady and we're not very good and we go with Stidham, and we're not very good, what do you think they're going to be saying about me and at the end of my career? They'll still be saying he's the greatest coach ever, but that's because he had Tom Brady.
And I think he's making the call here. I don't think Kraft, I've come around to this, I don't think Kraft is in a position where he's going to overrule Bill.
I think Kraft is.
He's had such a bad 2019 after they won the Super Bowl. Kraft, it was not a great year following the Super Bowl win for Kraft. I think we can all pretty much be comfortable in saying that.
And you asked the question, but he just said it, Mutt. If Brady's gone, where does the ish fall? At whose doorstep? Who walks out in
Bob
the,
Kraft.
In the, exactly.
Bob Kraft.
And he
no
doesn't
doubt.
Want that smoke
Does
right
he,
now.
Exactly.
Does he want to fight with Belichick, though? Because it's going to be a fight. If you believe he
fight?
Twisted.
What's the fight?
The fight is Bill's ready to move on. You
Where
let
are you
me,
going, you Bill? You're on the contract.
You wouldn't let me keep Garoppolo. I'm making the call quarterback.
Is he under
here.
Contract? Isn't it supposedly just like a year to year? None of us know if it's like a long-term deal.
I don't know what his deal is.
He's always kept it private. I've heard he gets
to be the highest paid coach
Correct.
In football. So they
well,
redo the finances
let's
of
let's
a year.
Guess that. You'll be hosting a show with Kelly Clarkson before Stidham is quarterback next year.
Let's guess that he is.
Wish I would watch that show. And listen to it.
I mean, right? Can't we just make an education?
Today on Kelly and Wiggs.
That's a pretty horrible show, though. If you've seen her show. But let's just make an educated guess here. Don't you think he's under some type of contract, Belichick?
Yeah.
Okay. So Kraft would say, Bill, you're coaching for me or nobody else.
But if the contract says he gets to make the football decision, this would be a football decision, right? Is Brady coming back or not?
How do you
overrule the guy whose contract says you're in charge of football?
But he's Brady. He's more than a football decision. He's a franchise decision. He's an entire organization. He's a marketing decision. He's everything. He literally is at this point.
And do you think that he walks away or they bump heads that bad when he goes, Bill, you got to let me do this We can figure out a contingency.
If he ties him up to a big 2-year deal, like you were saying, and it's going to be X amount against the salary cap, and Bill can't make the moves he wants to make because he's paying this 43-year-old quarterback more than he wants to pay him because it's all about value, 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 then yes, that becomes an issue.
So then, Bill, what's your contingency plan?
I'm going to go to next year with Jarrett Stidham. He's my quarterback. Here's why, Bob. He did X, Y, and Z in practice. Jeff Howe reported he was a better rookie quarterback than Garoppolo was as a rookie quarterback. We think this kid is ready, and I'm going to take that money and I'm going to repurpose it.
Okay.
That $25 million, I'll make the team better. We're not going to be built around quarterback anymore, but we'll be a better team next year because of it.
And
that's the pitch.
And when we go 6-10, then what?
Then we'll come back the next year with Jarrett Stidham. I mean, I
trade for Brady.
Bob, we're not going to go 6-10. We feel confident in this kid's ability. That's what he'll have to say. 617-779-7937, the phone number. You guys are lined up. It is all Brady all the time. I will get to those calls next. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the guys.
Today on Kelly and Wiggs.
That's a pretty horrible show, though.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Boy, it's amazing. We've been talking about legalizing sports betting in Massachusetts for a year. Wiggy's been on shows where we've talked about it, and it took Mark James showing him an app where he can actually do it to get him convinced we need legalized sports betting in Massachusetts.
No. I was always convinced that you should do it.
But now you're all fired up about it.
I didn't know that I would be into it like that, because the last time I ever gambled sports betting was when, you know, I was like 15 or 16 in the neighborhood. They would bring by those football cards and you would, you know, do those.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say last time you gambled was when you opened your mouth on the radio.
What do you mean? usually that's always bet on black. You never lose. Right? And so I'm like,
they're jealous for something.
I'm like, okay. You know, this whole gambling thing from how, and then I started looking at some of these prop bet things, and I would go, you know, that would be fun to do.
Sure would be. If
not
they would
hardcore gambling, just like the small bets. Prop bets.
Henry was plus 550 to be the first person to score in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
You put $100 down and
you win $550. Yep, how it works. You can do it from your home. If you live in the state of New Hampshire, they're doing it right now. If you live in Rhode Island, you're doing it right now. But in Massachusetts, we're not doing it. And that's why we do every segment every Tuesday on my show at night called Let Us Bet. And I found out Saturday from some little birdies down in MGM Springfield, we are making some noise with that segment. And
I think it's amazing.
We are speeding up the process of legalized sports betting here
in
the state.
And then Massachusetts is going to do what they do. They're going to take their little cut.
They already have. So they're taking a year to work on this.
No. But once they make
ridiculous.
It legal, so they'll be able to take every time people bet, they'll be able to take their little, they'll be able to tax it and take their little cut. So hopefully they can fix the rules in Chelsea. And then I don't have to drive through there like I'm dodging landmines.
And so my wife, as a teacher in Central Mass, doesn't have to bring $600 worth of supplies to school, not once a year, twice a year, to bring her own stuff in, because technology sucks. They got Commodore 64s as computers there. The heat doesn't work. Right. I mean, these schools are in rough shape.
You
got to
move the Billerica, man. Billerica's new high school, amazing.
Is it nice? I'm right near there. Shoot, maybe I have to move.
It looks like a college. I mean, they got it.
Right by there, 10 minutes
away. Weight room in there, giant field house. Billerica High School looks amazing.
So I will go check it out. And credit to Mark James, he gave out the teaser, his correct teaser. That thing came home yesterday, so he was a big winner. Heard him touting that on the show, and he got it right.
What did he bet?
He won, like, both favorites. He teased both favorites down, and he won, won easily, quite frankly. Wendy wants to join the show. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, I gotta turn my radio off here.
Thank you, Wendy.
Very good. Radio pro.
Hello.
Hello, sorry. I'm just curious, with everything you've been talking about Tom Brady and all of his choices, how you feel about the latest headlines of the magazine Life and Style?
I've not seen it. What give us the news and notes. Which one are we talking about here?
Okay. So it's a picture of Tom and Giselle. It says
Giselle dumps Tom. Yes.
Yes.
$600 million divorce nightmare. That's the front of Life and Style, right?
Yeah. So I don't believe, and there's probably not a shred of truth. But if there were a shred of truth to this, would this change any of Tom's options, like going to another team and putting himself 200,000% into football?
I think it would change. Now, this, what are they trying to say? They're going through a divorce?
Yeah. Why can't I find this?
Well,
Life and
what
Style
the hell
magazine.
Is Life and Style? See, I'm not familiar with the publication. Is it one of these rumor mags you get?
It's a checkout impulse purchase gossip rag.
Is it like National Enquirer or something along those lines?
Just for celebrity notes.
I don't know. It's in every store around, and I find it kind of offensive because I can deal with any talk about Tom and football, but not Tom and Giselle. And now it's all over the newsstand.
So let's say this. Where does Giselle, what part of the country does she like? Doesn't she want to live near New York or something like that? So I would think Brady would still want to play somewhere if they were, this was true, if there were any truth to this. He would want to play someplace close that he could be able to see his kids.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, one kid lives in New York. Obviously, the other two are right here where he is now.
Right.
Does she like Miami more? Like they don't like L.A. That's McGinnis. That's what McGinnis said a couple months back on.
But I wouldn't buy into this whole whatever is
$600 million divorce.
And these things are never right. I don't want to give this thing any credit.
That's what I said. It's like one of those terrible celebrity gossip impulse purchase rags.
We had Giselle's Instagram post the other day where she talked about turmoil and personal lives and stuff. Maybe she knew this was coming out.
It's like when I was a kid and my mother used to take me in the store and there was always those magazines and Nostradamus was always predicting the world was going to end.
It's ended several times. This is just a sim, Wiggy. This is a dream right now.
They're like, wait a second.
And by the way,
I'm 8 years old. I only got two more years to live.
This is not the first time it's happened. So I'm reading a story from October 2015 where then 38 years old, Brady had to come on this station, part of his weekly conversations with us, and speak about it. We're in a great place. I'll just say that. I'm a lucky man, been blessed with support from my family and certainly her, and there's no bigger support that I have, and vice versa. And the headline this story was Tom Brady finally addresses divorce rumors. So I've not seen this Life and Style magazine yet, but I would say it's who knows what kind of effect that has on his football. I have no idea.
Well, I would just say that if with anybody who is playing a sport or not playing a sport, they would want to work close enough to where they can easily commute to see their kids.
Yeah, you would think so. So the headline now.
Oh, I got it. Thank you to Jack for tweeting it in. Thank you.
So we are now to believe that Tom Brady is not just a football free agent, but he's about to be a romantic and emotional free agent as well.
The headline is $600 million divorce nightmare in big yellow letters. Giselle dumps Tom, fights, lies, and separate bedrooms. Quote,
so nothing, she dumped him.
Nothing he ever did was good enough. Why she hated their Massachusetts mansion. They do the arrow and points to the mansion.
How could you hate
Maybe that's why he needs to move on.
How can you hate a $35 million mansion?
I don't know. I don't. You know what? I'd like to be in a position to find out.
Maybe was it the feng
shui? I wish I was rich enough to find out. Why do I hate this mansion?
I don't
mansion?
Like how the foyer looks, Tom, here. You decided to go with this. Not me. This is your idea, and I don't like it.
I left $43,000 in that couch you gave away, Tom, you jerk.
McDaniels isn't including me in the offensive game planning.
Right.
I don't care about that, Tom. How am I supposed to live on these grounds?
Right.
Nick is in Dover on Brady and Belichick. Hi, Nick.
How are you, guys?
Oh, Nick.
First time I called in with you on. I'm so happy that you're on this morning to take the field my question here now. About maybe 10 minutes ago, you said that we really haven't seen Bill Belichick's body of work without Brady. He really hasn't been that great. If you remember, he did win a little bit with Bledsoe. He won with Castle. I mean, he had some bad years.
Yeah, but he didn't really he won with Castle, but he took that Castle team was a team that was 18-1 the year prior. The regular season they went 16-0.
Awesome. Team was loaded in 2002.
Right, so
but He can win without Brady.
Well, he hasn't.
I don't think just because Brady doesn't come, if he doesn't show up next year, it doesn't mean we're going to go 4-0.
No.
Nick, it's your phone, Nick. It's not you. Thanks for the call.
But he hasn't won anything of relevance without Brady. He hasn't won in like an AFC championship game. I mean, not a Super Bowl. So, yeah, can he win games during the regular season? Okay. Mm.
Wait, before Drew Bledsoe got hit by Mo Lewis, there were rumors he was going to be fired at the end of the year. So it is not crazy to think that he has benefited bigly from having Tom Brady as his quarterback. Like, honestly, there's nothing wrong in saying that. They both, I guess at some level, have something to prove. I tend to agree with the caller. I don't. It's still Belichick, using that money in other ways. Like I don't think it's the downfall of the organization. But there is a question there.
Is the team with Stidham at quarterback?
Wiggy, you can't say that. Wiggy,
wait here. Let's just give your opinion.
Who else on the team? How are they repurposing that money?
However you want to repurpose it.
Who are they signing at wide receiver? Who's the tight end? What are they doing offensive line?
Who are they signing? Well, we know Amari Cooper's a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm. He's going to cost a nice.
Yeah, well, if you're not paying Brady, then you have some money to sign these guys.
So Hunter Henry and Amari Cooper come in with Jared Stidham.
There you go. Hunter Henry and Amari Cooper with Jared Stidham.
My baseline is 8-8. With Jared Stidham and Bill Belichick, my baseline in the AFC East is still 8-8.
Is that a playoff team?
Probably not. No, it's a wild card team. And with Tom Brady, they bring back Tom Brady with this same team.
So what team?
What team made the
playoffs with 8-8?
Not many wild card teams.
No. That's it. Which team made the postseason this year with an 8-8 record?
I'm not sure.
Did they? None.
Okay. Well, occasionally, so once in a while, with a bad division, sometimes you can sneak in.
Panthers
went once at 7-8-1, and I think the Seahawks go at 7-9.
But if they bring Brady back,
Everything falling apart in your conference.
You know, that's not a fair question right now, because even bringing Brady back, we agree they have to do a lot of stuff to be a better team, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
With Stidham, they would make some moves that we can't see right now.
At least I know. If they brought Brady back, and let's say they didn't do much, let's say maybe they brought one or two guys in here and there that weren't like the guys, they just brought in random.
Sure.
We already saw Brady with a team that didn't really have much, and they were a playoff team.
Yeah, but were they a good playoff team?
Well, I'm not saying whether or not they're going to be a good playoff team, but at least I know with Brady, you can make the argument that they're a playoff team. With Stidham, you're saying 8-8 at best. That's not a playoff
team. Before you know what's going on. I guess I trust Bill Belichick to make the right moves to put the talent around Stidham, because he's going to have the money to do it that he didn't have with Brady. The bigger issue is that he should have done it with Brady.
But we just said if you had Stidham and Amari Cooper and Hunter Henry.
Then it's a plus 8 win team, because the defense is still intact. They're winning 8, 9, 10 games.
You probably lose Van Noy. So you lose some pieces here. Maybe you lose Tooney or whatever.
And Bill's still your coach? Yeah, you can win 8, 9, 10 games there. Right. It's just tough to put exact number on.
I don't know if you can win 9 or 10 games with Stidham as your quarterback.
I'll pick it up in the final hour at 617-779-7937. Wiggy, Fitzy, Mutt in for Greg Hill.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.